Maybe the veal just got cooked with steam.
Spitting out a long stream of brown juice, Clem frowned deeply.
Let me tell you, kid. No steam nor lava did that. Don't like this.
The lieutenant cracked his knuckles and stepped onto the strange soil. He sank to his knees and quickly stepped back onto the road. A rat scurried by, and he resisted the temptation to shoot it out of sheer annoyance.
Maybe Overton.
Can't be. If his cold hearts could do this, why not just show us and declare himself Baron? Who would be crazy enough to try and fight this with blasters and knives?
More likely, it's removing potential enemies.
The sergeant fought to keep his horse calm. The animal was very unhappy and wanted to leave the moment they had arrived. He didn't blame it a bit.
Chill before getting chilled.
Nobody spoke for a few minutes, thinking seriously about that possibility.
Might be. That is, if this be a weapon and not some bizarre natural effect of the Deathlands. We'd be mighty close to the Washington Pole. All sorts of crazy stuff happens there.
Hey, look at this.
The lieutenant held up a small gray object.
It's an intact bullet.
Say, there's lots of them. Over there and there.
Weirdest thing. It's not damaged in the slightest.
Oh, nuke me. They must have been shooting at the sky, and the slug fell without hitting nothing.
The sky? You mean a plane?
Or a bomb?
Clem wheeled his horse about.
Folks, if I know. Everybody, back to Front Royal. We gotta warn Baron Calder before this thing strikes again.
Wait, sir.
What for?
The sick man took the reins of his own mount and handed them to a surprised Clem.
It took us 2 days to get here with full supplies. If you drop everything except your blaster and take my horse as a spare, you can get there in 1 day.
Clem tied the reins to the pommel of his saddle.
Yeah, smart thinking. See you back at Front Royal.
Yeah!
With a war whoop, the chief of the Sekman kicked his horse into a full gallop. Yards away, his saddlebags dropped to the road, then his water bag, the bedroll, and then he was gone from sight over a hillock.
1 day. I just hope it's enough time to evac the Ville.
To do what? Run away?
And what else can we do against a plane dropping bombs?
The rest of the brown shirts didn't reply, as the lieutenant climbed on the largest horse behind a private, and they started riding southward to their homes. Hopefully, the Ville would still be there when they arrived. Smoking a cigar in the morning light, the blue shirt watched the road winding down the side of the steep hill through his binocs and fought back a yawn. It was another 2 days until his relief came, and he could go back to the complex for hot meals and slave girls. Sniper duty was boring. Anybody he saw was fleeing the Tennessee River Valley, and he wasn't allowed to loot any food or have a woman. The survivors might meet Ryan coming along the road and give away his location. The mined bridge over the river was clear as always. Horses and people could cross safely, but Major Sheffield said that if a big wag like an APC or a Hummer tried to go across, the whole thing would blow sky high. He'd like to see that. It would help relieve the boredom. To the south rose the foothills of the big mountains. They were little things, only a couple hundred feet high, hardly worth calling a hill. More of a mound, really. A dirt road wound down the steeply sloped side, zigzagging along to finally go over the top near the peak. Personally, the sick man didn't think any wag could travel over the rocky terrain without busting an axle, or worse. It was for walking or horses, not wags. Which meant he was here for nothing, doing nothing. He took another drag on the cigar and blew a smoke ring into the air, contemplating randomly shooting at folks as they passed by, just to watch them dance. Then a speck rose over the crest, and he took a look with the binocs. Probably just some more greenies from Georgia, or stickies. Focusing the military glasses on the hill, he followed the roadway until reaching the tiny dot again. The cigar dropped from his mouth, and he leaned forward, nearly falling from his perch in the tree. It was them! Holy shit! It was Ryan and his gang! The road down the hill was covered with rocks, making driving almost impossible. The Hummer scraped bottom more than once when it rolled over broken chunks of granite. The view was spectacular, although the trees lining the serpentine road blocked most of their view of the valley below. But they could catch glimpses of a river, and seemingly endless forests of blue pine carpeting the landscape to the horizon. Shifting gears and fighting for control, Christie finally reached the bottom of the road and floored the wag. The Hummer surged forward in a burst of speed, and almost immediately there was a bang, the vehicle veering to the left. Christie fought the wag to a stop.
Gaia! That tire finally blew!
JB climbed from the rear seats.
Better here than up there. Well, we got almost 50 miles out of it. That's not bad. Time to use the spare.
Dean stepped into the bushes for a moment while Jack stood guard at the M60. The road ahead was level and straight, going directly to a pre-dark bridge. Mildred adjusted the focus on the binocs.
Bridge looks in good condition.
We'll have to check for traps. This is close to Shiloh, and the Blues could be anywhere.
The words were still in the air when a volley of bullets chattered across the armored chassis of the Hummer, closely followed by a sound of a distant rifle cutting through the peace of the forest. Everybody dived for cover. Lying in the dirt, Ryan worked the bolt on his Steyr SSG-70 rifle, chambering around for immediate use. He began sighting through the scope on the long blaster, sweeping the trees.
That sounds like an AK-47.
Yeah, it's a Blue. I caught a glimpse of a muzzle flash in the trees.
More rounds hit the wag, two impacting on the jack supporting the vehicle. The flat was lying on the ground, the new tire resting against the Hummer waiting to be attached. The jack was hit again and shook, but didn't fall.
There seems to be only one sniper.
Doc started moving away from the wobbly vehicle.
Only one firing. There could be more.
Bastard's smart, too. He waited until I had the flat off, then started firing. We're not going anywhere.
JB adjusted his wire-rimmed glasses to sit more firmly on his face. Last thing he wanted was for them to slide off in the middle of a battle. Mildred called out from the bushes.
Anybody hurt?
Just then, another wave of bullets pounded over the armored hull of the Hummer, sounding like hail on a tin roof. Several rounds hit a tire, but didn't puncture the military rubber.
Undamaged so far, but not for long. This guy is good.
Trained hands fired the Steyr and worked the bolt, loading another round.
Too good.
JB fired the Uzi twice at random trees on the distant hill. Return fire kicked up dust directly in front of him, and the armorer dived off the road into the bushes, crawling hastily away from the spot at which he entered. Seconds later, that location shook from a hail of incoming rounds.
Much too bastard good.
A figure appeared from the trees, holding a silvered revolver.
Want me to try a law?
The plastic tube was draped over Christie's back. Targeting the tops of trees, Ryan shook his head, firing again.
Don't waste it. We still have a long way to go.
Besides, he's not going to hurt us with an AK-47. Not at this range, anyway.
JB fired the Uzi randomly at the hilltop.
Incoming!
A split second later, a fiery dart riding a contrail of smoke flashed by them, heading for the Hummer. A wave of heat from the exhaust washed over the companions as the rocket missed the wag by a foot and disappeared into the woods. Silence ruled the area for long 10 seconds. Then the forest erupted into a fireball of thundering flame.
That was a law. Okay, anybody got a gren?
At this range?
Just throw it as far as you can.
Pulling the pin, the redhead dropped the handle and heaved the sphere with all of her strength. The ball hit the road roughly 30 yards away and rolled a few more before the charge exploded, throwing a cloud of smoke and dirt into the air.
Camouflage.
Ryan threw his own grenade slightly to the left of the first. Another huge cloud of dirt covered the roadway, completely masking the Hummer. Sporadic fire came from the sniper as the companions used the rest of the grens to maintain the dust cloud. Resting the flat tire against his spine as protection from incoming rounds, JB hastily attached the new tire, using only half the nuts. But he spent a few precious seconds making sure those were solid and tight.
Done! Go!
At the wheel, Mildred, the sole occupant of the wag, started the engine and rolled away, crumpling the jack still attached at the frame of the military vehicle. She cut a fast turn, throwing more clouds of dirt into the air with the spinning tires, then charged headlong into the trees and vanished among the foliage. As if the sniper deduced their plan, another law streaked through the dust to violently detonate a scant yard away from where the Hummer had been parked.
Now!
And Ryan charged into the trees at a full run, the rest of the companions only steps behind. Moving fast through the pine trees, Ryan curved across the sloped side of the valley.